And welcome once again to another edition of A Plain Answer here at Redeemer Broadcasting. I'm Dan Elmendorf. On the phone line with us today is Dr. John Vance, our dear friend. Pastor Vance, thanks for joining us.
My privilege and delight, Dan, always.
Well, I sit here with a cup of coffee. Pastor Vance, I told you before we opened the mic that my head feels foggy today, so I'm on my second cup of coffee within about 10 minutes because I just got to wake up. It's that bad. I was up earlier and realized, oh no, our station is off the air, so that messed up the whole day, and I just barely got back into the studio, and thank the Lord the problem is resolved.
You've had a long day already.
Oh my. You had a really good idea what to talk about today. I value your insights, and because you tied the theology to the Bible to, I want to say, real life. Now, the Bible is real, but it gets fleshed out in real life. And so you kind of have the gift of God to do that. So can you tell us what you're thinking of today? What's on your heart, Pastor John Vance?
I've been working on some writing, a little writing project. I hope it turns out well, but it involves thinking of memory and history. And I thought a lot about memory with respect to, I have two living siblings. Our younger brother passed away with mesothelioma about 5 years back. But we talk a lot about the past and our uncles and grandfathers and things like that because we live on a farm here, I do. This land has been in the family around 250 years or more before the American Revolution. I don't know how long before. And so memory and history play a big role. And I've been thinking a lot about memory, how it shapes persons and the collective memory, how it shapes societies. How you remember things in the past and how you remember your own, it makes a difference how you look at yourself and what you think about yourself. We all carry memories that are good and memories that are bad. We're just like King David. David had great high times in the Lord, and you see his memory in the Psalms at work, but also in his low times and had to fall before the Lord on his face and confess his sins to God. But memories are the stuff of personhood, and it's very important. And so that's why I suggested it to you. It was only a few minutes before you gave me a call here to talk. So I hope we got enough ammunition to flush out to follow through on this. But I think we'll be fine.
I think we will. Today, earlier, when I went up on the mountain to service a station, get it going again, fortunately, my cousin Wes came along with me, and we share a lot, being cousins. His parents were Christians. My parents were Christians. The families used to get together, have a barbecue or whatever, very good relations, and he mentioned something, how that he appreciated being brought up by our parents, his parents, my parents, how much we have to be thankful for. And then we mentioned our nation of America. Wow, that's a lot to be thankful for. Memories are important. And one last thing, I was thinking about some people track their heritage, where they came from. And they go back many generations, and they're able to track the family. That's important, actually, and I admire those that do that.
Yes, I've done it myself. That's how I know that my ancestors on both sides have been in the U.S. since prior to the American Revolution.
Yeah.
How much earlier, I don't really know, but I know it's at least 1740 on one side and maybe even earlier on the other, maybe 1680. But while memories are important and understanding of things, without a memory, we don't know who we are. We don't have an identity. Memory gives us identity. I'm a great fan and was of Glen Campbell. I don't like country music particularly, but I really thought Glen Campbell was an extraordinarily talented man. I loved his music. and Jimmy Webb, who wrote a lot of his songs. But people may not know, but when he passed away some years back, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he was in the latter stages of Alzheimer's disease, yes. And he didn't recognize his wife or his children or anyone. He even lost the ability to play, but that was the last thing to go. If you were to hand him a guitar, even when he couldn't recognize anyone, as he descended into his own diseased mind, so to speak, it's insidious, these dementias and Alzheimer's. But if you handed him a guitar, he could get up and play and sing.
That's neat.
So that was the last to go. And I've always liked the movie star Bruce Willis as he descends into his deep dementia. It's a special kind, though, that he doesn't recognize faces and a whole bunch of things. But people don't understand, I think, that these diseases of the mind in this way rob you of more than just a few years in life. They rob you of your personality and many things. So it's important that we are able to have our memories to function. For instance, you could not possibly do some of the technical things that you have to do in the past unless you remembered how to do them.
You have to remember.
Now,
you have
to practice them, of course. But just think what you have to remember to be able to do almost anything. So memory plays a vital role. There's a YouTube, and I'll say this, of a family that's recording their grandmother or great-grandmother. She's very old, well in her 90s. I think she's 95 or 96. And she didn't know anyone. Asked, you know this person? No, I couldn't remember. And they said, do you remember Jesus? Oh, yes, she jumped up and said, this is my Lord and Savior.
That's beautiful.
I remember Jesus. It is beautiful. But King David is the one who plays on memory so much in the scriptures. The Psalms are so full of depth, and people love the Psalms.
Yeah.
But notice David is opening his heart in many ways, and God through is revealing himself through this personality. And it's an amazing thing. Of course, he does it through all of the prophets and so forth. But David knew about the subconscious and maybe even the unconscious. Those are distinctions by Freud, even before Augustine or Freud. He knew about those things, and he even says in one place that the memories that he's had, the unconscious memories, his bones ached and so forth over his sins.
Yes.
So it's the human being is wired, if you will, to use an engineering term, wonderfully. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So it's amazing to think about how that plays out. But, you know, memories, you know, I didn't tell you much ahead of time at all on this. In fact, I haven't told you anything. But while I talk about them and how important they are, maybe there's another path here that we should explore a bit, and that's in the reliability of our memories.
Yes.
I have memories for the individual not quite as reliable as we think they are.
Right.
I've thought a lot about this. I had speaking of a diseased mind person, I had a lady in the church. I don't know whether you ever knew Dot Weber or not. The whole family's passed away, or I wouldn't mention her name.
Right.
But most people wouldn't know her. It's been quite a while. But she would come and fold a bulletin every Sunday.
Aww.
Saturday for Sunday.
Yes.
And she did about, everybody, 300 bulletins. I don't know how many she did. Every
a labor
week.
Of love.
It was a big chore. It was. At what she did. But she was developing Alzheimer's disease, and she couldn't remember and think.
Uh-uh.
And she went out one day and just sat in her car. She didn't know how to start the car.
Uh-uh.
And she sat out there for an hour, and I looked out the window, and I saw her. And I said, she's been there for a long time. And I had to go call her son to come and get her and help her to get her home.
That's right.
Now, memory's important on everything, but they're not always reliable. You can have false memories.
Yeah.
I think I've had some memories suggested to me that were not true.
Yes, yes.
For instance, maybe you've had that experience.
Well, I was thinking similarly. There's some memories we have of certain hurtful situations in life. And for those, we're better off kind of putting them aside if it's going to cause us to feel ill will towards the other person. It needs to be put aside in a way that there's forgiveness and confession of sin if needed, and not hold a grudge. I think holding a grudge really kills our spirit and it hurts our minds.
Well, it is true. Fixations, for instance, people
yeah.
get fixations on grudges, fixations on a lot of things. When people are losing some of their stability, they often repeat the same things over and over in their mind. Fixations,
right.
And that I know one person that I love dearly. In fact, two people who got very fixated on certain things
yeah.
and couldn't get past them, resentments and things, and had breakdowns. So it's important.
That's right. And you know what? You triggered another thought. I'm sorry my thoughts are so sporadic. You were talking about dementia and Alzheimer's and that sort of thing, and I came across some doctor that had done some work using medicine, ivermectin. And he was claiming that it was helping some of his patients. And I don't know much about it, but it's certainly worth looking into. Ivermectin is a relatively safe medicine, and I'd like to learn more about that with respect to dementia and Alzheimer's.
Well, ivermectin, they called it at the time when they were using it for COVID as being a horse medicine. But of course,
right.
if it's horse medicine, then so is penicillin. You give horses penicillin as well.
That's right.
So it's a way people denigrate certain things and movements and show their political bias.
Yes.
But the most important thing, though, is that your past memories are depending on the mood and your own health at the time. If you're in pain and
true.
You have a certain event happen, you're going to remember it differently than a person who's just inherited
yes.
$1 million. Your memories will be different. And so forth. They're very subjective, and you can distort your memories over time. I see it in my daughter. We have a debate about, I'll just illustrate it this way. It was like pulling teeth, no pun intended, when we tried to get her to wear braces. She would not wear braces. I will not do wear braces. Well, about 2 years ago, now she's in her 40s, about 2 years ago, she says, I wish you all would have bought braces for me and encouraged me. My wife and I, we just couldn't believe it. And her memory was that we didn't follow through.
Yes.
So we can have distortions too, and that becomes very important in court cases
yeah.
or this a lot of things. So, but I do want to talk about something. I know our time is passing, and that is the collective memory of a person of a society's history, and it pretty well functions just about like memory does.
Yes.
History and its remembrance of it, you know, the old saying, what was it, Santayana? Was it Santayana, the philosopher at Harvard, who said, if we don't remember our history, we are something like we are doomed to remember, make the same mistakes as we did in the past.
Yes.
I don't know quite how that goes, but it's something like that.
That's the point,
and
anyway.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's the point. It's absolutely true. History, to get it right, and they can never get it perfect or totally right, but it's very important. And we have historians today, the extreme progressive historians, are trying to reframe American history so that we are a country that has committed the sin of slavery. Have you ever heard of the 1619 Project?
I have.
Maybe not.
I have.
Well, a lot of people haven't heard it. It's the New York Times pushed this thing through, and the Jones woman who was responsible for it, I can't remember her name now, But I did read the work, the essay that she wrote, that she got a Pulitzer Prize, I believe, for it. But she tries to frame American history from 1619. And that means that then the dominant theme in American history is slavery and the evil of it. But if you go back and frame it traditionally, like we always have done, and I think correctly, then you do it from the Pilgrims, at least, from 1620, or take the American Revolution. Now, so slavery, while it is an important matter, it is not central to what America is all about.
No.
And if you don't have that perspective, you're going to be resentful, you're going to be angry, and you're going to be false to what the reality really is,
right,
in my opinion.
Right. I like to think back also to the Puritan time frame and the effect that they had, and the Pilgrims were a form of Puritanism, as I understand it. That's very important in the framing of America, I think.
Well, yes, they gave us our government, in a sense, through the covenants. The, you know, constitutions and covenants are related.
Yes.
Most things, almost the only thing we remember about the Puritans today is that they burned witches and they made, what was Hester Prynne, is that her name? Wear an A for committing adultery, and that's all we about know about the Puritans. But my land, their history was rich and very important.
Oh yeah, they were a godly people. They wanted to to obey the Lord in all areas of their lives.
So history, the way you frame it and the way you understand it is very important. I don't know of an academic, a truly good academic historian, by the way, that falls for all this stuff in the 1619 project. It's just, in the end, it's just rubbish. But history is also important in the interpretation of the Bible. I think a lot of people think you can just open up your Bible and whatever you think it says, that's it. That may be true to some extent. It is, because we have a mind and we can think and so forth. But, you know, I've studied a lot about the Bible. I was my college professor who taught me Greek died 2 years ago. I found out he was a wonderful man. Harold Sala, you may have heard of him. He had a great radio ministry around the world in 70 countries.
I didn't know that you had him as a professor.
Yeah, he taught me Greek, even though he's only about 4 years older.
That's interesting.
He was great. In fact, I helped him get started a little bit. At first, when he started his program,
that's neat.
I went to some radio stations for him and knew him well.
I had no idea. Good for you.
Yeah.
Oh.
And but when I preach sermons and give lectures and things, I don't depend solely on my own resources. I go back and I check theologians in the past. I go back to Charles Hodge, famous Presbyterian, Luther, Calvin, St. Augustine, Thomas Aquinas even.
Yeah.
And I see what they have to say. Because I know that I have idiosyncrasies. If I knew what they were, I'd quit them, but I don't know them. And things like that. But you check yourself with other people, and history that way is collective, and it's a corrective.
It is.
So memory and history and all of these things are important in interpretation of the Bible.
Yeah.
Because, where is it where it says the Bible is no private interpretation? Is that in First Peter? I'm not sure where it is.
Right.
But I do check church history, and I do check what the church has taught and preached in the past. So it's important. For instance, we talk about the end times. My sister and I have different views on the end times. I'm kind of amillennial, and she's the premillennial of a certain kind, and she's totally dispensationalist premillennial. And I tell her, over and over, I said, you know, the secret rapture is something that's only about 150 years old or 200.
Sure.
And you don't find it in church history. And I tell her that, and she says, well, maybe something new. I said, yes, it's possible that we'd have greater insight. But generally speaking, I trust what, I don't know whether you've ever heard of Vincent of Larens. Have you ever heard that
name?
No,
I don't know that one.
Well, he was a 5th century guy. He lived in the 5th century, and he came up with a phrase. Now, I don't like some of his other teachings, don't get me wrong, but he did say something that I think is quite important. And he says the Catholic faith, meaning the faith of the whole church,
sure,
has to do with what people have believed. All people have believed in all places at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I get out of that framework and I get a little nervous to make sure that I'm right and what the church has historically believed, that's an important component in scripture interpretation is the history.
Well, you were right, by the way, in your quotation of that Bible verse. It's 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm reading from the King James Version there. That's mm-hmm. That's a blessed truth, isn't it?
Well, the truth was received by the community, and it is passed on through the community. As a matter of fact, I don't know whether you're aware of the verses or heard anything preached on them of late, but I opened my Bible up just before we started to 1 Timothy, and it says this: Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care.
Mm.
Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed, in so doing have wandered from the truth. That's called the deposit of faith testimony, and it's a very important testimony when it comes to 1 Timothy. And listen, 2 Timothy 14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
Yes, guard it.
That
yes.
means that the truth is passed down through history, and that's why the church is important. It's supposed to be a guard and protector of that truth.
Yes. Yeah, no question.
The deposit of faith, the gospel.
We're talking about memory and history today. Our guest is Pastor John Vance, and Pastor Vance used to minister in the Hudson Valley of New York State. Finally, after many years of service and hard work, he retired to West Virginia and lives now on some land that his family owned years ago, and he's there now. But there's a lot of continuity going on, and I'm glad to see that you are able to live where your forefathers lived, Pastor Vance, and I really like that. It's a nice touch.
Well, my great-great-great-grandfathers fought in the American Revolution.
Oh.
And his brother, two brothers, did as well. They fought in the Shenandoah Valley. They were born and raised, and then they were called up and joined the Revolution. They were part of their propaganda fodder.
Yes, people, yes. But, so sad, really.
But yes, it was. And so that's a good memory.
That's right. It really
that's
is.
It's an historical memory, not personal, but it's a good historical memory for me.
That's right. It's important to be accurate in our recitation of history, and many times the left will try to screw things up and quote it differently than what it really is, and people on all sides will do that. So we have to be accurate and honest.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We have a mind that's supposed to think through these things and develop the right kinds of memory of the past, because we won't grasp the future in the right way if we don't have a right grasp on the past.
Yeah. We've got 1 minute remaining. Encourage the folks as we go forward serving the Lord this week.
Well, I'm thinking of, it says in Deuteronomy, I think it's chapter 4, to teach your children and pass on these things that you have heard. And this is part of the divine legislation in the book of Deuteronomy. I won't go into its background, but it's a special book in the five books because it's in the covenant form.
Hmm.
But we're to pass these things on to our children so that they form right memories and that they know who Christ is and what he did for them, that he died for us on the cross. That's what I'm getting at heart.
Amen.
You can lose things through not trying to maintain it.
Yeah.
But families have to maintain the gospel of Christ, the deposit of truth. Churches have to maintain it, or they cease to be churches. And if governments forget who finally is that authority above all authority, I think it's just like the old Soviet Union, when you cease to consider that there is one mightier and sits above the circle of the earth. Many people think the Soviet Union died because it lost a sense of transcendence.
Yeah.
And it's important to know that him who sits on the throne.
Amen. Our guest is our dear friend, Dr. John Vance. Pastor Vance, take care and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And dear listener, please join us next week for another edition of A Plain Answer.